Podcast is Pastor Bob Arthur's.
And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. We're going to be spending the next half hour with you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship, as we are preparing our hearts for Christmas. And, Paul and I were joking around before we went on the air, and one of the things that my kids and I say to one another is we're just not normal. You know, we have our own unique sense of humor, and we understand one another, but every once in a while they venture out and demonstrate their sense of humor outside the workplace, and people just kind of look at them, and I just tell them, I said, look, baby, we're just not normal. And sometimes it's not just our sense of humor, sometimes it's a life application as well. And my daughter was talking to someone several years ago and was saying, well, I'm praying about buying this car, and the other person on the other end, who's a Christian, says, oh, I don't pray about that sort of stuff. I just go and do it and just assume that God is going to provide. And, now a few years later after that, that person is coming to realize that there can be some challenges with that sort of mindset. So, I mean, life is hard enough without us complicating it by going, in a sense of disobedience. So we're going to be talking today about coveting, and we're going to be looking again at our analysis. How do we analyze ourselves? How do we make sure that we don't have coveting in our life? I do want to remind you that we've got just a Sunday morning. We have our Sunday school at 9:30, Sunday morning worship at 10:30. Do not have a Sunday night service this week, but we will have a Christmas Eve communion service. It's a service that, I mean, we tweak it every once in a while, but it has stayed basically the same. We read the Christmas story. We sing Christmas carols. We celebrate communion. We enjoy one another's company. And then in an hour, 45 minutes to an hour is how long that service takes. And then we dismiss everybody to go celebrate Christmas with their family. And so if you would like to be a part of that, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, be Tuesday night, 6 o'clock p.m. And we pray that you will be joining us. As our family has changed with... several years ago, there was a daughter-in-law that was added to the equation. Then there was a grandchild, then another grandchild, and here recently, a son-in-law. And we still got one more son-in-law in the future, wherever he may be, that we're praying for and look forward to those changes. But this year, the time frame of our traditions is changing just a little bit on a personal level. Getting to celebrate Christmas with your family is a great and wonderful thing. So we've talked about here for the past couple of days, how do we measure ourselves? How do we examine ourselves? What does the end look like for coveting? Is it the end that we are looking for, or is it the end that we dread? Is it instead of it being a dream, is it a nightmare? What does that end look like? And so we talked about that. We talked about Paul said that when he presented the gospel, he did not present the gospel as a cloak of covetousness. In other words, he was not looking at the people of Thessalonica as his next victim. He was looking at them as the next members of the body of Christ that were going to be a blessing throughout that region of the world. The other thing that we talked about on yesterday's program was out of Romans chapter 7, that we need the Word of God, because the Word of God brings awareness to us on a spiritual level as to things that we are, A, either doing in obedience to God, or B, things that we are doing that are in disobedience to God, and what the end result of that. So we go back to that measure. You know, whatever measure you use, whatever measure I use, is the measure that God will use in our lives, and it will come back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall it be poured into our bosom. And so we want to make sure that we use the right scale, the right measurement, the right standard in analyzing ourselves. And this is the time of year that if we aren't careful, that covetousness gets a free rein. Now, we've discovered as parents that there can be more joy in giving than receiving. A lot of times that takes a while for us to develop, because as a child, man, the giving is incredible. And you don't realize the joy that your parents get from giving. And God is a giver. This season that we are living in, this Christmas season, remember, it was for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It all birthed in the love that God has, not only for Jesus, but for all of humanity, and that he wants us to know him. So that's where we are. We're going to go to Luke chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 15 to start off with today. And Jesus says, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So we're going to look at these standards here today, and we see that Jesus is not telling us to be free from money in our lives, but that we make sure that we use the financial resources that God has given to us as tools to impact the people that we come in contact with in our sphere of influence. That's the ultimate goal of the financial resources that we have in our life. It's making friends for yourselves. We use that which is temporary. Here it's unrighteous mammon, and if you look, that is literally just a term for financial resources. A lot of people think that mammon is an idol, and it is only an idol if you make money an idol in your life. That's greed. That's idolatry. And so whatever resources we have are supposed to be utilized as tools to impact people's lives around us in a positive manner. Coveting reverses that and uses what resources we have to victimize other people to the enrichment of ourselves. And so you can see that all the elements are the same, but they are in the wrong order. They are moving in the wrong direction. So we can analyze whether there's coveting in our lives or not, depending on how we're utilizing our financial resources. There's a person that has said that you can determine a person's priorities by checking their schedule, their itinerary, how they spend their time, and what do they do with their money. Okay? And so there are lots of people. Listen, everybody has the same amount of time, but not everyone is a wise steward of their time. And most people have access to money, financial resources, but it is how they manage those resources, how they handle their finances that makes a big difference. I can tell you that I look back on some of the things that I did earlier in my life and see that I made my financial life harder because of some of the decisions that I made. Now, some of the decisions were made not in a selfish manner, but some of those decisions were made in a selfless manner. As, look, God, I told you I would go where you want me to go. I would do what you want me to do. And sometimes answering that call led me to a place where the financial income was not sufficient to meet the needs that I had in my life. And instead of looking to the adequacy of my financial source, I had to lean upon God and say, God, you know, we really need an intervention here. And when one particular season of our life like that, the company that I worked for ended up having their biggest sale of the year, and I was on commission, and I made just a lot of money for that day and time. My paycheck was like quadrupled what it normally was at just the right time. My father always said, you know, God always provided for us when we were growing up, but a lot of times that provision was in the opportunity to work overtime where their finances went up a great, great deal. So don't make bad financial decisions. And I tell my kids, and I'll tell you, and I'll tell anybody else, the financial decisions that you make when you're young, they have a ripple effect that goes on through your society. And so if you will say, you know what, I've got more expendable income, discretionary income in my youth than I will probably ever have, and so I need to make sure that I am treating that resource in my life as a way to influence other people, but also not to make bad decisions that are going to cause me not to be able to bless other people later on in life. Here it says in verse number 10, he who is faithful in what is least also, or is faithful also in much. Many people are of the mindset that the stage that they are at requires that coveting or unfaithfulness with your finances is at this stage, but it's only temporary. It's only going to last until the finances are of such a point that you're going to be able to be a giver. And that is one of the delusions of a covetous spirit, because it never comes. It never comes that way. I saw something on the news. It was a survey on a website. Lots and lots of people took the survey, and it said this: how much do you give to charity? How much do you give to charity? Another question was, when do you give to charity? And a lot of people only give to charity at the end of the year. But there was about one third of the people that said they do not give $100 to charity over the course of a year. 69%, if I remember correctly, 69% said that they give less than $500 a year to charity. The smallest portion said that they don't give, or they give more than $1,000 a year to charity. That was the very smallest amount. And you say, well, you just don't understand my financial reality. Listen, over the course of the past year, we have had a person at our church, and they said, you know what? I am going to do what God said when it comes to tithing, where he said, test me in this, prove me in this, see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour a blessing out for you that you do not have room enough to contain. And we decided that we would help her through that journey, because we would much rather that lady honor God with 10% of her income, and almost everybody makes more than $10,000. And if you operate on a tithe of $10,000 is not just $1,000, it's the first $1,000. And so there's a time frame in there where you're going to have some difficulties. And so we have no problem helping someone transition from disobedience to obedience, from trying to make it on their own to finding God blessing in their finances. I encourage you today to begin honoring God with that which is least in your life. And as you do, you will find that you will be entrusted. God will determine that if you've been faithful at that level, that you will also be faithful with that which is more. It goes on to say, this is verse number 11, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, I heard a teaching from Robert Morris as he was preaching on tithing, and he was describing a conversation that his daughter had with a group of her friends. And Robert Morris, not an Assembly of God pastor, he pastors a very influential church out in the Dallas area, Gateway Church, I believe it's called. He's the author of The Blessed Life, The God That I Never Knew, and several other books. Real smart guy, very down-to-earth presenter of the gospel. And so the conversation with this daughter and her friends was, your dad, I bet he even checks the tithing records of the people who want to date you. And they were expecting a big chuckle, and no, he would never do that. And she said, oh, he does. And then he ended that story, and he said this, and I did, and I do. And here's the reason why. He said, why would I want to entrust my daughter, who is one of the greatest treasures that God has entrusted to me as a father, why would I ever want to entrust her heart, her well-being, her spiritual journey? Why would I want to entrust true spiritual wealth to someone who's not going to be faithful in the little bitty thing called money? And so you can have people who are rich that have a heart of covetousness, but you can also have a heart that where your bank account is completely and totally depleted, and yet your heart can be captivated with coveting just as much, because if your heart says, I need money more than I need obedience to God, that's a heart problem. That's an internal issue. It's not an external issue. So he goes on and he makes another statement here, and he says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So back up to verse number 12, we didn't talk about that. If you've not been faithful in what is another's man's, who will give you what is your own? A lot of people look at their job as just a stepping stone. But it's a stepping stone not just of experience and not just of financial resource. It's a stepping stone of faithfulness. If you are not faithful at your job, let me tell you what will happen when you do have your own. You will have a company where people will not be faithful to you because that is the standard that you have established. And it's very interesting. If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you? Do you realize that that very statement means that there are no self-made people? Everything that we have, who will give you? Who is your source? Who is going to give you your authority? Who is going to give you your wisdom? Who is going to give you your strength? Who is going to give you the network that you need? Excuse me. You have to realize at some point in time that God is the one who entrusts you to that. And it's all a matter of who you are going to serve. Who will demand your loyalty and you will say, yes, sir. Is it going to be money or is it going to be God? So I've told this story a number of times that I worked at a company one time, and every time the supervisor came in, the manager that I worked for was a nervous wreck that he was going to get fired. He said, you know, when he gets here today, I could be fired, you could be fired, we could all be fired. Well, you know, when your boss freaks out, you tend to get freaked out. I was much younger at that point in time, had responsibilities, couldn't afford to lose my job. And so I was back in the stock room, and man, I was like, God, what is, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And you know, God spoke to me and he said, well, how much money do you make? At that point in time, I made $7 an hour. That was with a college degree, a family of four. And we're talking about a time when people were making a lot of money. I thought $7 an hour was a lot of money. And I found out a little later it wasn't. And he said, well, how much do you make? And I said, $7 an hour. And he said, well, let me ask you, if he comes in and fires you, do you think that I could give you another job that makes $7 an hour? And with those words, faith arose in my heart, and fear went out and faith came in. And I said, you know, God, I believe that you could. And we had an opportunity to go through that cycle with that same manager with a different company, not my manager, but the supervisor. And at that point in time, when he tried to place a demand on me that I could not honor because of my service to God, I wasn't disrespectful. I said, sir, would you like my resignation today, or would you like me to give you 2 weeks' notice? Because I was actually doing a favor to the manager by working there. He was doing a favor to me. We could use the extra income. But at that point in time, I knew that my service to God was more important than that money. Two more things. It talks about the Pharisees. We read that. It says here, God's description of them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was this. They were lovers of money. They loved money. They loved money more than God. And God tells them this. God knows your heart. Covetousness is not a financial issue. It is a heart issue. And so as we're looking to say, how can I analyze myself? What test can I give myself? Is we look at the ability, or we look at the condition of our heart, and we say, okay, if God says this and my budget says this, which one of these is going to win out? And if the answer isn't God, then don't beat yourself up. Just realize that what God has presented with you is a growing opportunity, an opportunity to grow in your walk with God. See, too many times whenever we fail the test, we go back and we beat ourselves up and we get down on ourselves, and then we're discouraged, and then we don't want to do anything again because we failed the last time. Instead of saying, you know what, I may have failed this time, but I'm not ever going to fail in this area again. And so I had that in the area of finances. When I moved to Florida, I have a financial obligation to my district, and the financial obligation in this district was different than the financial obligation in my previous district, and I was unaware of it. And so when I got here, I got called on the carpet, not because I was wrong, but because my process was different than what they were accustomed to. And so I took a friend of mine and I said, correct me if I ever fail in this area again. And he never has had to do that. God knows your heart. And he says this, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. When I see the word abomination, I just put in common vernacular, makes me sick. Okay? So, for what is highly esteemed among men makes God sick. It causes him, his stomach to turn, if I can put it in just terms that we can understand. If you've ever eaten something and it just didn't set well with you, and it's like, oh, I don't think I'll eat that again. That's what is taking place there. You see, men's things of value and what God's thing of value is are two different standards. For God, obedience is better than sacrifice. A friend of mine, I'll close out today with this. He pastors a large church, and he said, I'll never forget the first time that someone donated $1 million to our church. The same day that that person placed a check in my hands for $1 million, there was a single mother who decided that she was going to live for God. She kicked her boyfriend out. He said, you will never make it without my financial input in your life. And she said, you know what? I think I can, and I'm going to start by tithing. And she gave him a very small check. And he said, I tell you what both of these checks signify is that people are growing in their relationship with God. And I pray that God delivers us all from covetousness.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.